Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we get an update from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on hearing loss, meet a new Yellow Ribbon company, and check in with the Navy League here in Minnesota. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
One of our biggest challenges after more than a decade of multiple deployments and economic hardships has been helping our service members move forward and grow in spite of the adversity they face. Every person is different in the way they react to stress, but resilience is a skill that can be taught. Giving resilience training to our military members and their families provides them with a set of tools to use when dealing with problems in their everyday lives. The Minnesota National Guard has trained master resilience trainers and resilience training assistants throughout our units to teach these important skills to our force. Resilience training focuses on improved problem solving and communication skills, strengthening relationships, and focusing on the positives rather than the negatives in everyday situations. The program addresses five dimensions of soldier fitness: physical, emotional, social, family, and spiritual. Better training is just one of the ways we hope to impact the mental health of our service members. We are also working to change perceptions in our organization so that service members feel comfortable coming forward with their problems without the fear of a stigma or reprisal. Help is out there for our service members and their families. So many programs and organizations exist to help veterans who are struggling. I encourage everyone to reach out and take advantage of these services. Resilient service members make better, stronger leaders for our force.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Today, we are going to talk about hearing impairments for our veterans, and joining me is Dr. Aaron Penn, who has a doctorate. He's an Doctor of Audiology and works at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Dr. Penn, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, and thanks for inviting me here. I appreciate the opportunity.
Doctor, I understand that you have a bachelor's degree and a master's degree, and you have a doctorate in audiology. You must have been in school for about half your life.
Well, it maybe only seems that way. But yeah, the requirement now for audiologists is to have the doctorate degree, and that's called the AUD. It's a doctorate of audiology, similar to pharmacy would have the PharmD or that type of thing. So it's 4 years of school after the original graduation from college. And I went to Northern State University, and communication disorders was my original degree there.
And then you got a master's degree from University of Nebraska-Lincoln?
Right, yep.
And your doctorate was where?
And the doctorate was from A.T. Still University, which is in Arizona. So I later on went and finished that part of the degree.
And how did you come to start working at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center?
Sure. Well, originally growing up, my dad, who had been in the Air Force, was an optometrist at the VA in Sioux Falls. And so I kind of watched what he did and enjoyed that type of thing. And then after I graduated, worked at a private practice for about a year and a half before getting a job through the VA, which is what I really wanted to do to help veterans. So I did that at Southern Illinois, and then transferred to Minneapolis after that.
So you've been at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center since, was it 2004 you transferred here?
Yeah, since 2004, and became the supervisor of the clinic in 2007.
Now, Doctor, I understand that the Minneapolis VA healthcare system takes care of approximately 100,000 veterans here in Minnesota. And my guess is that quite a few of those have some kind of a hearing problem that is related to artillery and things they did in the military, whether they're in the Army or the Navy or the Air Force, anywhere. Is it pretty common for our veterans to have some type of hearing loss?
Yeah, it's very common, and those noises can often result in some high frequency hearing loss in particular. And one thing that's unique to the veteran population is they may have an asymmetry, so they may have one ear that's better than the other because the noise was on one particular side. So we're in the private world, hearing loss is more symmetrical. you'll have those kind of differences with veterans.
Now, Doctor, I'm wondering, our older veterans, World War II guys, Korea, Vietnam now, of which I'm one, as I look back on my service in Vietnam, the hearing protection that we had was either non-existent or not very good. Would we have better hearing protection today?
Yeah, it's much better today. Leadership has decided that it's important for soldiers to be able to communicate and to hear, and so they've really made that much more of a priority to protect that hearing as part of being what a soldier needs for readiness. And so they've done a lot of things in that area to improve that.
So is that manifesting itself in a lower number of today's veterans having hearing issues as opposed to the older guys like me?
Yes and no. We've seen sometimes with people coming back recently, they may do okay on a hearing test, and it may show that their hearing is okay, but they may have ringing in their ears. And in some cases, if there was a blast injury, it may not necessarily be the ears where the problem is, but there may be some processing difficulties, which might be more central or more with the brain.
We're speaking with Dr. Aaron Penn from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Doctor, do some of our veterans perhaps have some hearing loss and maybe don't even realize it?
Yeah, a lot of times it may be a spouse or a friend or somebody else who notices the hearing loss before the actual person with hearing loss. And that's because a lot of times you don't always realize what you're missing. You didn't hear it, so you don't know that it's something that you missed.
So if your wife says that you're always saying what, you're either not listening or maybe you don't hear.
She's probably correct. And some veterans ask me to put a wife button on their hearing aid to mute them, but I don't always follow that advice.
I imagine the wives wouldn't like that, Doctor.
No, not too much.
So how do you diagnose and treat hearing loss in our veterans?
Sure. So it first starts with an audiological exam, which will be, listening to different tones and responding to those to see where the thresholds are, but also some speech testing to see if there's understanding difficulties in background noise.
So there might be a comprehension problem that's caused by the fact that they're just not hearing the questions properly?
Right. It could either be that they're not hearing all of the sounds, like often with high frequency loss, it's the consonant sounds, the S's and F's. But then, like I said before, it could be some processing issues also. So a lot of times it's a combination of those things.
So a lot of our veterans I see have hearing aids. Can you quickly explain how do they work? Do they just amplify noises?
So the technology with hearing aids has definitely changed a lot, and hearing aids are much better today than they were even 10 to 15 years ago. Hearing aids can do a lot of things automatically. So today they're constantly looking for different listening situations, and they change automatically based on the listening situation that is around. And they communicate with each other wirelessly now. So instead of really having one hearing aid on the right side and one on the left, they're really working together as a system to help improve hearing.
So the hearing aids have come a long way. And,
yes.
And I would guess a lot of your veterans you can help with just a simple hearing aid and without that wife button, it probably works pretty good.
Right. Yeah, we're able to help most people with hearing aids improve their hearing. They're really doing things with smartphones, and there's a way to have accessories so that you can even stream somebody's phone call directly to your hearing aids. So the technology just continues to improve.
Doctor, is there any way you can cure it? Is it permanent hearing loss when you get it, or does it ever come back?
So the hearing loss related to noise exposure is an inner ear hearing loss, and that's typically a permanent hearing loss. So it can continue to get worse. So it's important in noisy situations for people to continue to protect their ears if they're mowing the lawn or hunting or those type of activities. It's good to have some ear protection to make sure that hearing doesn't continue to get worse.
Doctor, I'd like to talk about that and some more and the procedure called a cochlear implant when we come back. We have to take a short break. We're speaking with Dr. Aaron Penn from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking to Dr. Aaron Penn, who is an audiologist at the VA Medical Center here in Minneapolis. And we've been talking about hearing problems that a lot of our veterans have experienced. And, Doctor, just before we went to the break, we were talking about the fact that when you experience some type of hearing loss, there's some kind of inner ear problem, but it's probably can't be reversed, and it's usually permanent of nature?
That's correct. What we're really trying to do at that point is make sure the hearing doesn't get worse, and it's important then to protect your ears. So even if you do have some hearing loss, the hearing can still get worse.
Now, do you give some of our veterans that have hearing loss some advice on how to prevent it from getting worse?
Yeah, we'll often talk to them about anytime you're in those noisy situations to make sure that you have some type of protection. In fact, if you do something where you're going to a loud concert or something like that and you get done and there's ringing in your ears, that's a sign that you probably did do just did some damage at that point.
So if you're going to go to those concerts or go to maybe the state fair or go to a race, make sure you've got some good ear protection so that you don't do further damage.
Right. Yep.
Okay, and then we talked about the fact that a lot of our veterans can be fitted with hearing aids, which have come a long way in the last, 20 years. Like everything else, technology gets better, it works better. So hopefully you can take care of a lot of our veterans that way. But in very severe cases where they've had the hearing loss, you now have some new capabilities here in the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, and you have the ability to surgically implant a device that's called a cochlear implant. Can you explain that, sir?
Yeah, that's correct. And it's true there are some patients where hearing aids just really aren't enough, where they're not getting much benefit at all because of the severity of the loss. So some people that are in that case would benefit from a cochlear implant, and that's a device that is surgically implanted. And the idea is that will become kind of the new inner ear. And it is intended to restore a level of hearing through the auditory nerve.
Now, until recently, we had to send our veterans down to Iowa, as I understand it, but then the Minneapolis VA Medical Center applied for approval to be able to do this here, and you got that approval.
Yeah, that's correct. Dr. Rieger, one of our audiologists who's really heading up the implant team for us, really got the whole thing going, and there was a big need there because patients in this area would have had to travel to Iowa City for multiple visits if they were going to get a cochlear implant. And now we've got that here. We're able to help not only the veterans in Minneapolis and that area, but also now some patients throughout the visit.
And, Doctor, I'm reading about an article when you announced the ability to do this in Minneapolis, and it says patients can achieve up to 60-70% of hearing function with the device. Cochlear implants are considered the most successful prosthetic sensory device for restoration of function in the history of medicine. But it goes on, and as you read through it, it sounds like you have to train the patient on how to hear again. How does that all work?
Well, yeah, it's important to remember that a cochlear implant is not going to just immediately cure hearing loss or restore hearing. There's a process where patients need to get used to the new sound. You can imagine not hearing much at all for many years and then suddenly getting a lot of sound. It's not immediately where the most benefit is seen. It's something that takes some time and some training.
And Doctor, this sounds amazing to me, but the article says that a cochlear implant is made up of both an internal implant and an external sound processor, which converts sound into an electrical signal. And then it stimulates the auditory nerve. And so once it's installed in a patient, then you have to work with them for months to figure out what's going on and how to hear again, I would guess is what you'd say.
That's correct. Yeah, there's a device that's surgically implanted, and then the processor sits on the outside of the ear and is magnetically attached. But there are several follow-up appointments to make sure that the mapping and the programming of the processor is correct, but then also to assist with the training of getting used to the new sounds.
So it's a surgical procedure. There's something planted under the skin. And then you've got some equipment that's on the outside that helps you convert sounds into something that you need to start recognizing as words. And I can only imagine that that's a bit different than you and I speaking, and we're hearing and we're understanding immediately. But it sounds like there's a lot of follow-up for at least a period of months, if not longer. And that wasn't very comfortable or convenient when you were doing it in Iowa, was it?
Correct. Yeah, we identified that there was a gap in the Midwest, and it didn't make sense for people to need to travel far distances to have these follow-up appointments. So that's where it was determined that this would be a great site, and we can really help more veterans with something closer.
We're speaking to Dr. Aaron Penn from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, doctor, the typical patient that might be eligible for a cochlear implant, are there some patients that it will probably work better for and others that perhaps not?
Yes, and it's important to know that there's multiple things that we're looking at when we're trying to determine a candidate. They not only need to be audiologically a candidate, which means they need to have the hearing loss where they're in that range, but also the patient needs to be healthy enough that they can go through a surgery. So there's an implant team that's consisted of audiologists, ear, nose, and throat physicians, primary care physicians, and various other professionals that help determine the candidacy for who might get benefit from that surgery.
And they probably need to be of clear mind and understand what they're getting into and understand that this is going to take some adapting to in order to regain your ability to communicate properly?
Right. It needs to be somebody that's willing to go through all of those steps and continue to follow up, because it's not just a one-time deal.
Well, doctor, that sounds fascinating. Cochlear implant, and we've said before that if any of our listeners are interested, if you're part of the VA system already, all you have to do is call into the main number and ask for if you can get a hearing test. And then they get into your division over there, and if they do have some hearing loss, you might be able to fix them with a hearing aid of some kind, or they might be a candidate for a cochlear implant. If they're not already part of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, then they can go to their county veteran service officer and say, I'm having some hearing problems. I think it's related to my service and when I was in the military service, and your county veteran service officer can help them get into the system, and then you're there and you're ready.
Yeah, that's correct. And I think it's probably also important to note that hearing aids and cochlear implants are not just devices to make sounds louder. Hearing loss can be something that's very isolating, and a lot of patients that use hearing aids or cochlear implants, they tend to have more social involvement, longer employment, and less cognitive decline, just because they're plugged in and they're continuing to be good parts of society.
Well, their experience in life and their hearing and their communicating and their understanding, and life is fuller and things are better.
Right. Yeah, I've fit hearing aids on people and just seen them. I've seen them relax. You know, it's
start
a lot
smiling
of,
again.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to listen and strain all day to try and hear things. And when people get that benefit, they just relax, and it's really fun to see.
Now, doctor, we just got a couple of minutes left. We know that the Minneapolis VA healthcare system has a research element to it. In your department, I'm sure that over the years you've been there, you've learned a lot, and there must be some research element in what you're doing as well.
Yeah, now that we have the cochlear implant program, we've started getting some and collecting some data on outcomes from that program specifically, and we've already seen some good outcomes, even though we just started in November, and the VA is a good place to see a lot of that data, because there's a lot of patients and you get a lot of data points, so we're definitely headed in that direction.
And all of that, I would imagine, is shared with the general public through the Million Veteran Program and all the research and all the things you've learned from treating veterans with like hearing loss. There's probably a lot of them that have it, and you're sharing that with the general public as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doctor, we just got about 30 seconds left. If any of our listeners out there think or their spouses think they're having a hearing problem, you want to hear from them, right?
We do, and it doesn't take a consult through the primary care physician. We've really simplified that process. If you're in the system, you can really just contact the call center or talk to a clerk at the front desk and get an appointment that way, because we want to help as many people as we can.
Doctor, I'm glad your father convinced you or got you interested in helping our veterans, because it sounds like you're doing some great work out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome, and again, thanks for this opportunity.
Yes, sir. That was Dr. Aaron Penn from the Audiology Department from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll meet a new Yellow Ribbon company. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet a new Yellow Ribbon company. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
We welcome the new commanders on board as our veteran service organizations change hands and new leadership steps up throughout the summer. The Minnesota Commanders Task Force, or CTF, is made up of congressionally chartered veteran service organizations here in Minnesota. They include the American Legion, American Ex-Prisoners of War, Veterans of Foreign Wars, Disabled American Veterans, Paralyzed Veterans of America, Vietnam Veterans of America, the Military Order of the Purple Heart, the Marine Corps League, American Veterans, better known as AMVETS, and Jewish War Veterans. The CTF acts as a single voice for the veterans of Minnesota. They meet monthly to discuss the issues affecting veterans and their families and facilities, and facilitates communication among veteran service organizations. The CTF promotes legislative initiatives that are important to veterans and their families and represents them on the Hill. The CTF also acts as an advisory board to me, the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. I value their advice and service.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to introduce a new Yellow Ribbon company is the Director of Military Outreach from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Annette Kuiper. Annette, welcome back to the studio.
Thanks, Tom.
Annette, how many companies do we have now that are Yellow Ribbon?
Well, this Friday, we will have our 55th Yellow Ribbon Company when Regents Hospital joins us as a Yellow Ribbon Company.
And you've been busy, haven't you?
Absolutely. These companies have done an amazing job of making commitments to hire and retain our veterans and support their military-connected employees and support our community networks.
And we've got a new company that's a Yellow Ribbon from Duluth. Do you want to introduce them?
Yes, I'm so excited. It's been such a great partner up in a northern part of the state, Elite Minnesota Power, that is a company that a lot of people in that area know, but they might not know all the great things they're doing to support service members and veterans and military families. And I have here today Jennifer Peterson and Jeff Love, who are going to share with us some of the great best practices that Minnesota Power is doing.
Jeff and Jennifer, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jennifer, I want to start with Jeff for a minute because he was a Marine.
Well, obviously, he's better.
Once a Marine, always a Marine. But Jeff, tell us about your military career. You were more than a Marine, weren't you?
Yeah, I started out in 1994 in the Marine Corps. Signing up, it was a hard decision to make, but one of the best decisions I ever made, especially now as some of the lessons I learned there in the Marine Corps are paying off even to this day. I served for 4 years. Stayed stateside, and then got out for about a year and then joined the National Guard in Grand Rapids. That turned out to be a great, great experience also.
And you're one of the founding members of the Elite Minnesota Power's Yellow Ribbon Steering Committee.
Yes.
As well as Jennifer. And Jennifer, you were one of those, and you're still in the military.
I am still in. So I started my military career in 2001 in the active duty Army. And then after 4 years, I transitioned to the Minnesota Air Force National Guard, and I drill at the 148th Fighter Wing in Duluth.
And you're an officer and a major?
I am, yes.
And what position do you serve in up there?
I'm an intelligence officer.
Jeff, are you listening?
I'm paying attention.
Okay. Got to make sure the Marines are listening. So, Jennifer, can you tell us, Minnesota Power, a little bit about the company and how they decided to become Yellow Ribbon?
Sure. Minnesota Power is an electric utility, and we serve customers from Duluth to International Falls to Little Falls, providing electric service in northeastern Minnesota. We decided to become a Yellow Ribbon company in part because we'd been doing many of the things that a Yellow Ribbon company does for many, many years without having the certification. So it was kind of a way to formalize many of the great things that were being done informally in the company.
Yeah, and I understand Minnesota Power participated in a little job up at Camp Ripley recently.
If by little you mean the largest solar installation on any National Guard base in the country, yes.
Jeff, I guess that's a big deal, isn't it?
That is a big deal. Yeah, it was a great accomplishment.
And we had a little problem with it because a tornado came through right after it was done.
Right.
But has that all been repaired?
Yes. So the tornado came by, and much to the disappointment of soldiers on Camp Ripley, it missed all of the tin hut housing units and did hit our brand new solar array. But that's since been fixed and it's operational.
You know, we've got one of those that we put Annette's name on, and the next time she goes up there, she gets to experience that.
Sure.
Never.
Never. That's not going to happen. Okay, can you tell us, as part of the committee, what type of steps did you have to go through to become a Yellow Ribbon company?
There was a lot of different steps. We had to go through and make sure leadership had buy-in. That was one of the biggest thing, which they did out of the gate.
We assembled a steering committee of employees across the company. So Jeff works in Grand Rapids. I work in our Duluth office. It was really important that we had employees from all areas of our company and not just the corporate headquarters. And we all each kind of took a part of the action plan and tackled it and kind of started standardizing a lot of the processes we already had in place.
So I imagine both of you got to know Annette pretty closely while you were putting your application together.
Yes.
And came under her influence.
That's correct. Yeah. She was a huge help in a lot of different ways.
But she also likes to share best practices that some of the other companies have been doing to help our military and military families. Did you find that interesting?
Yes, we found that really helpful, actually, learning from other companies in the state. And in fact, before we started down this process, Annette connected us with McGough Construction as kind of a mentor company. And they were really influential for us and just kind of helping guide us through that first initial process on what we had to do. So we're really looking forward to transitioning and being a mentor for other companies that might be in that same situation.
And Jeff, I'm looking at a pamphlet that you put together calling Yellow Ribbon Initiative 2016-2017 Progress Report, and it includes a lot of information on some of the ways that you're helping military families up in your area. It looks well done. Can you share with our audience some of the things that you do?
Sure. We have a huge volunteer pool that could come out and help anybody that may need help in the community. Those folks that maybe have somebody deployed, need somebody to come out and build a wheelchair ramp or haul firewood or just do things that maybe they can't do. We also have been working on the job and apprenticeship committees throughout the Minnesota Power community. Trying to get those guys the money that they've earned in their military service. That's one of the huge recruiting tools or retainment tools we're using right now.
Jeff actually started a really interesting initiative to allow employees to use GI Bill funds for apprenticeship programs and on-the-job training that wasn't available before.
So now that's available throughout your company?
Yes.
And Jennifer, I understand that you've got some communication things you've been working on, like developing a newsletter for military-connected employees and using some social media to help promote Yellow Ribbon.
Yes, our company has found that social media events like highlighting veteran employees on Veterans Day or Memorial Day throughout the year, tweeting out some exciting things that our military-connected employees are doing is really popular.
And Jennifer, have you gotten the 148th involved with your company to help do some things?
You know, the 148th and Minnesota Power have been partners for many, many years on different things. And in fact, our executive sponsor is a big supporter of the 148th through our local Chamber of Commerce Military Affairs Committee. So I would say that we have a fantastic relationship with the 148th and have many employees that both work at Minnesota Power and drill at the 148th.
Do you ever bring Jeff with you when you go out to the 148th?
He's too scared to go to an Air Force base.
The Marine won't go on an Air Force base. Oh, my goodness. But he'll go over to Camp Ripley and make sure that solar array is working, I'll bet.
Right.
Jeff, you must have been to Camp Ripley when that project was going on.
I was not, but I did stay in those tin huts you were referring to earlier, and they needed to go.
When you were a member of the Army National Guard.
That's correct.
Yeah, well, that's why Annette wanted one of those. We're going to put her name on it and see if she wants to go over there. We're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the elite Minnesota Power becoming a new Yellow Ribbon company. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Whoa. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting with Annette Kuiper, Director of Military Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Veterans or Military Affairs, and Jeff Love and Jennifer Peterson from Elite Minnesota Power. And Jennifer, I know that Minnesota Power has a commitment to the community, and you work a lot within the community, including the 148th. We have to include that. Could you tell us about what's going on up there?
Sure. Well, I think Minnesota Power employees in general are very committed to the communities in which they live and work. And I think Yellow Ribbon follows that trend. So I am also co-chair of the Proctor Beyond the Yellow Ribbon community effort. We just found out that our action plan was approved by the state, and we're planning a proclamation ceremony later this summer. And I know Jeff's also involved in the Yellow Ribbon community effort in Grand Rapids.
So all over Minnesota, Minnesota Power is involved with the community in a lot of different ways, Jeff?
Yeah, we absolutely want to see these folks succeed here in the communities and complete that network, that capillary that doesn't let anybody fall through the cracks. I want to take care of all our people that served.
And Annette, just as we've seen around other parts of the state, you have all of these communities and counties that are Yellow Ribbon, and then when the companies come in and become Yellow Ribbon, they get together and they collaborate and they do some great things.
Absolutely. And Minnesota Power really is the role model for that, how that looks, encouraging their employees to get involved with their local Yellow Ribbon networks and really helping stand up those volunteer leaders with some great leadership from these companies.
And Jeff, one of the keys to making this work at Minnesota Power is you must have some type of executive you report to that gives you the authority to do the things you're doing.
Right, we have a lot of leeway with our leadership. They really want to see this go. They want to offer their support any way they can. They gave us a little budget, and they're just letting us go out and do the right things the right way.
So top to bottom, Minnesota Power is into this, and they like being a Yellow Ribbon company and working with the Yellow Ribbon communities.
That's correct.
Now, Jennifer, you were involved on the committee to become Yellow Ribbon. What advice would you have to give other companies that might think about getting involved and helping our military families and our communities and so forth?
I think the advice that I would give is absolutely to do it, first of all. There are lots of different corporate initiatives that our company has had, everything from, you know, safety to volunteerism, but I've never seen an effort that touches people the way that the Yellow Ribbon initiative did. And you just see that military-connected employees were really looking for a way to connect with each other and connect with the community. And so I think that the benefits of having a Yellow Ribbon initiative in your company are really endless. And then the second tidbit that I would offer is don't be discouraged when you start trying to identify who those employees are, because I would say that every time that we do an event for military-connected employees, we learn more employees self-identify. So it might take a while before someone comes out of the woodwork and says, I'm a veteran, but they will once they see the commitment.
Yeah, and I'll bet starting that newsletter and letting them know what's going on has to help. And then every time you reach out for new volunteers, maybe somebody new steps forward. And once they do, they're infected, right?
Absolutely.
That's Annette's job. She gets everybody infected with this stuff, and it's great stuff. But it's not just about Minnesota Power being a utility and serving all your customers. It's about being a great partner in your communities and finding ways to help other people.
That's right.
Jeff's got to be really rewarding to have gone through this whole process.
Oh, it's been a great process. We've gotten so much support, and like Jennifer said, a lot of the folks that maybe didn't identify or didn't want to be recognized or solely their boots are getting polished and they're standing a little bit straighter, and they're finding brothers and sisters. We're all kind of got a common bond, so that's really coming to fruition with this event. So
they're warming up to it, and it's getting bigger and better all the time.
It's getting a lot more fun.
Well, Jeff, Jennifer, thanks for joining us today, and as we promised, the last 30 seconds goes to Annette Kuiper, and we're here and waiting for your words of wisdom, Annette.
Well, I guess, Tom, Minnesota Power really showcases how a company can really help with our synchronization of effort across the state to support service members, veterans, and military families. And that's what we want. We want communities in which there's no military family, there's no service member or veteran that feels isolated or alone. And we want this in our workplaces across Minnesota as well as our communities.
Thanks, Annette, and Jennifer Peterson and Jeff Love from Elite Minnesota Power. Thanks for becoming a Yellow Ribbon company, and thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your time.
Joining me now is Brian Scott, the president of the Navy League here in Minnesota. Brian, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Always good to be back.
Brian, it's you give us a good option to find out what's going on with the Navy and an opportunity to follow the USS Minnesota. And in a little while, we're going to talk about the Minneapolis-St. Paul. But first, I know you've got Navy Week coming up July 17th to the 21st.
Yeah, it's exciting because the Navy chooses a number of Navy Weeks and to put assets and resources. And this year in 2017, we have a Navy Week, as you said, July 17th to the 21st. And we have actually two flag officers that are coming in. And the Naval Recruiting District is the individual, the organization that will announce those flag officers. But we're really pleased because both of them have Minnesota connections.
Are you going to have some activities here in Minneapolis that week?
They're going to be all over the Twin Cities, and they're going to be, the flag officers are going to meet with a number of corporate executives and corporations around town. I know I've set up a meeting with BAE Systems in North Minneapolis where they supply parts for the, or components for the Virginia-class submarines, of which USS Minnesota is a Virginia-class submarine. So we have a lot of military subcontractors and contractors in industry here in the Minnesota area.
Now, I understand that you've got a couple other events that you're going to support. One of them is the Patriot Ride on July 8th.
Yeah, we're going to go and we're going to bring our we have a promotional shelter. We have USS Minnesota swag, shirts, pullovers and whatnot. And we don't make much money doing this, but our goal is to put the logo of USS Minnesota on everybody's shirt. Everybody would wear one of those logos supporting the sailors, and all the money of that goes to support the USS Minnesota. And the Patriots Ride, and their veterans from every branch, we love to support that because they're so supportive of every branch of the military.
So for all those families that are going to go out to the Patriot Ride on July 8th, look for Brian and get one of those Navy caps from the USS Minnesota there. They're really good. Brian, I understand you're also going to support the Eden Prairie Air Expo on July 15th and 16th.
Yeah, and actually that's just a couple days before Fleet Week and Navy Week. And there's always Navy assets that are there. We're going to be there. There's warbirds there. The sole remaining veteran from the Doolittle Raid, Dick Cole, who's 101 years old, will be there as well. He was Doolittle's co-pilot on the first B-25.
Well, that'll be interesting. Be good to see him before it's too late.
Yeah, well, he's walking history right there. And it's pretty amazing. And in fact, the Air Force Museum in Nebraska has a Life magazine open up and a cutaway of a B-25, and Dick Cole's picture is in that from when he was a veteran or when he flew that mission. And here I get to meet him a number of years later. It's pretty amazing.
Be fun to meet him. Brian, we've only got about a little over a minute left, but I know that you at the Minnesota Navy League are currently supporting the Family Readiness Group of the USS Minnesota to provide something called a halfway care package. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, every deployment, the family readiness groups of every ship are more focused on the single sailors. These halfway care packages are designed specifically for single sailors. They have a $2,000 goal to raise money. The Navy League did provide half that. We provided a check for $1,000 for these folks. And the Family Readiness Group is always willing to take and able to take donations for these care packages. And what's interesting is they bring them along. They find places within the submarine. They carry them for 3 months, and right at the three-month mark, a little morale booster they give to the sailors.
Very good. And we just got a few seconds left, but there's a ceremony coming up in September for the new Minneapolis-St. Paul.
Yeah, we're still tracking for a keel authentication ceremony with the ship's sponsor, which is Deputy Undersecretary of the Navy, Jody Green. And this ceremony will be held at the shipyard where Minneapolis St. Paul is being built, which is Marionette Marine in Wisconsin, just 40 minutes north of Green Bay.
Brian, we're just about out of time. Where can our listeners go to get more information about your Navy League here in Minnesota?
Our website is NavyLeagueMN.org. NavyLeagueMN.org.
So tune in. Check that out for more information about all things Navy. And Brian, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom. Once again, I appreciate you giving us this time.
Yes, sir. That was Brian Scon from the Navy League, Minnesota. We have two mentions today. First, please remember the 12th annual Patriot Ride is being held on July 8th at the Anoka County Airport, a ride with over 4,000 motorcycles, and it's a family-friendly event that celebrates currently serving military and law enforcement veterans and the fallen. Please go to thepatriotride.org for ride and events information. And next, there is a Veterans Career Fair that's going to be held on Tuesday, July 11th this year from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Minnesota Veteran Employment Services invites all veterans and their spouses to this 11th annual event. Over 150 employers will be on site. In addition to the event, we'll include providers who offer services for veterans. More information at mn.gov/DEED/veterans. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Aaron Penn, Jeff Love, Jennifer Peterson, Brian Scon, Commissioner Larry Shelletoe of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we hear the story of a Minnesota Gold Star mother, and we'll meet the team behind Twin Cities PBS Remembering Vietnam. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.